I'll just pray. Father, we thank you for today, oh God. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to just stand in front of your people, oh God. Lord, right now I declare, Holy Spirit, take over. Speak to each and every person, myself included, oh God. Lord, I surrender myself, I surrender my intellect, and I just yield to your spirit. Amen. Amen. I've got my sister and brother visiting from Ballarat. Priscilla, stand, you can do a twirl. Amen. Hey, I think I should schedule family every time I'm preaching. I should. Amen. And it's good to see new faces, faces I haven't. Oh, Natasha, hi. She was in Zambia, Tatenda, Bethany, everyone I haven't seen for a while. Welcome back. Amen. This morning I'm going to be sharing about staying connected, which just fits in perfectly with everything that we've just been talking about. So I'm talking about staying connected. So the world we live in right now is you need to be connected. Like on my phone, and I'm not the most socially connected person, but I've got Facebook, I've got Instagram, I've got LinkedIn. I disconnected it last week. It was messing my contacts, but LinkedIn, Pinterest. I don't have Twitter, but there's Twitter. There's all sorts of things. Like even in a business sense, if you have, you need to have a web page at the minimum to survive in this environment. And then on the web page, you need to be engaged in social media. So when I did my master's degree in marketing a few years ago, and there's a whole section on social marketing and digital marketing. Like no one does the traditional, you know, type thing. And so we live in a world that we are constantly connected. And I went to a seminar last year about networking. So in workplaces, I'm guessing in schools, they actually teach you how to network. So I've got some instructions here. So networking is the exchange of information or services among individuals, groups, or institutions. So I know accountants, they've got CPA, that's their professional network, or chartered accounting professional network. Architects have their network. I'm guessing every profession has a network that you're meant to go and engage with other people. And networking is actually a skill. As graduating from high school to uni, especially into a workplace, you need to know how to network. For example, LinkedIn, you can get, people can headhunt you. Like I've had people from Sydney saying, oh, we've seen your profile on LinkedIn. Would you mind coming in for an interview? Because of the networking. And some of the stuff they teach you are the body language presentation, be authentic. I can give you this if you're interested. Attend events regularly. Follow up within the first 24 hours. So apparently, if you meet someone, exchange business cards. If you do not connect in the first 24 hours, that relationship is as good as gone. You can try 48 hours later, it's too late. But even how you connect that first 24 hours, you don't want to become too desperate, but you don't want to be standoffish. Like there's a whole lot of things that you need to do when you network. I don't know if some of you have heard of the elevator pitch. So you need to be able to describe yourself in 15 seconds if you're a person, or you need to tell me what your business does in 15 seconds. So imagine I'm in an elevator with you from the ground to 10th floor. I should know about your business. So you have to come up with that statement. So this is the world we live in, yeah? And just like we heard Jensen saying, that as the children of God, we need to be that connected with God. If we are spending so much time in our circular world trying to connect with other people, trying to create opportunities so I can get promotion, trying to create opportunities so I can get business contacts, what more with God? Amen? So last week we heard Pastor Mirella speak that 2016 for us as a house is a year to be submerged. So this year as a church and as a people, we should allow God to build within us a vessel that can go places like a submarine. So this year,
we need to allow God to take us deeper and deeper into places that we've never been. We need to trust God, and we need to let God be God and stay connected with Him. Amen? So a new year brings different emotions for different people. For some people, it's a fresh start. Like, you're like, what? 2015, done, dusted. 2016, new beginnings, let's go. For some people, it's a big year. There's maybe exams coming up, confirmations coming up, big changes coming up. Or for some, it's just, whatever. It's like the last year. It's going to be like the next year coming. But I want to paint a scenario for you. So imagine 2016 is a person, and I'll call, she's a she. I don't know, she's she. So imagine you're 2016. In 2000, you're like, yes, finally my decade has come. And then you've had to wait for 15 years. Like you're anticipating, like, yes, finally I'm going to come into existence. The 1st of January comes, you're like, yes, this is my time. So 2016 has a destiny. Imagine I'm 2016. So I'm 2016 and I have a destiny. But my destiny is linked to your destiny. So I can't be who I'm meant to be if you don't step out and be who you need to be in 2016. I only have one chance to live. 366 days. That's all I have. And I've already used up 9 of those days. So if you are not stepping out, I'm not going to be remembered ever. So when the history books, when they look back 50 years from now and they talk about me, my destiny will be linked to yours. So if God has called you this year to step out and be the best university student you can be, but you lay complacent, you've eradicated me from history. Does that make sense? So if God has called you this year to step out and start a business, to step out and start just spending more time with God. If you and I don't do what God has called us to do in 2016, 2016 is a blip, and it's as if it never existed. So 2016 is so excited that we've stepped into it. It has waited for us to enter into it, like I said, because it gets one chance. If we do 2016 wrong, we can't say next year, actually, I want to redo that. 2017 is anxiously awaiting for when we get there. Taking away all obstacles, all limitations, what's the one thing you would say? In 2016, I want to. In your minds, what's that thing? Hold on to that thing and say, in 2016, I will. Because God is going to enable us to perform that thing which is so dear to our hearts. It says in the Word of God, delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. So if my desires are small and limited, if I can't even think because I'm limiting myself, well, I think, oh, I can't do that. Oh, that's not for me. We're limiting God. Amen? So God has equipped us with everything that we need inside of us. We just need to stay connected to Him. As we connect to Him, He gives us the strategies. You might say, this is actually how you need to study for that exam. Or this is how you need to go and talk to that bank manager whilst you want to get that loan. Or this is how I want you to study the Word so that it sinks in your soul. But if we do not connect, you can see how I do it, but that's not how it works for you. I'll actually give you a little testimony. Ethan, he's my first son. He's 7 now. He just started acting out like ridiculous, which is so out of character for him. And I was trying everything. I started screaming. He started screaming. It was just for a period of about 3 weeks. I never prayed about it once, never. And then I went in my prayer, and when I went to pray that day, I woke up. I was like, God, I can't do this. And I clearly heard him say, you haven't asked me. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, okay, how do I deal with this situation? And he told me, he's like, you're disciplining him this way. He's not wired for that type of discipline. I want you to flip it around and discipline him this way. I was like, oh, okay. And I did, and instantly he was back to normal. Imagine if I hadn't gone 10 years later. Who knows? Who knows? I don't even want to think about it. But as we are connected to God, He gives us the current strategy for the current situation. It can be as small as that. How do I handle my child? Or it can be as big as career. I don't know. Who do I marry? How many kids should I have? That type of thing. This week, I heard a very interesting thing. I was listening to this preacher, and he said, each person fits into three categories. So the first one is you're failing. So you're in a season of failure. You are sort of, so imagine the Israelites, you're in bondage, you're in slavery. So you're enslaved by your emotions, you're enslaved by maybe drugs, enslaved, you're just in the wrong place. And you have got no hope, and you're just in bondage. And the second category is surviving. So with the Israelites, so you've moved from bondage, but you're in the wilderness. So your needs are met, just met, but you don't have any excess. You're barely keeping your head above the water. Sometimes you feel like you're sinking, and then you sort of come up again. And the third category is the promised land. So this is the land of overflowing, that's overflowing with milk and honey. You are a blessing, you're blessed, you can give yourself to others. So just now, have that conversation with the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, where do I fit in? And God does not want us to be in bondage. God does not want us just to survive. He wants us to thrive. If us as the church of God are thriving, we are going to change the world. We are going to influence the world. Amen. I'll just read John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Amen? So as God takes us deeper, I kept having that visual of the submarine. As God takes us deeper this year, let us choose to live out this verse. That Jesus did not die for you and I just to fail. He did not die for you and I to just survive. So as we're going about doing whatever we're doing, if you're just in that moment of survival, say, God, something's not right. You said that I should have life and life in abundance. And that's when you go to the Word of God. Find out what the Word says about your particular situation. I've experienced this more in more recent years, that the Word of God is the answer to every situation. It seems cliche. It seems, I don't know. Oh, no, it couldn't be. But it is true. It is true. The Word of God is the answer to every problem, every situation we have. So to thrive in 2016, we need to be connected to Jesus. Amen? I'll read Daniel 3, verse 19 to 25. So this is the story of the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the king in those days was King Nebuchadnezzar. And he had built a statue, massive golden statue, and he decided he wanted everyone to worship his statue. So we're catching the story at this point. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and expression on his face changed. Okay, so these boys decided they didn't want to do it, and anyone who did not bow to the statue was going to be put into a fiery furnace. Yep, so that's where we're putting them. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that the heat of the furnace be seven times more than it is usually heated. And he commanded certain men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the fiery burning furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, the furnace became exceedingly hot. The flame of the fire killed those men who stood up, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. So here's a king who doesn't believe. And he had three boys who made a resolve that regardless of what 2016 is going to bring, we're going to stand. We're going to stand on the word of God. We do not care what the law is going to say. If the law does not line up with what my word says, what God says, I'm going to make a stand. And as they stood in that fiery furnace, the Bible doesn't say the three of them saw the fourth man. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, I don't know. But it says the king saw the fourth man, amen? So he's the one who looked and was like, that looks like the Son of God. How would he know? How would he know? So this year, whatever we go through, know that it's you plus the Son of God next to you. So as you step out into university, as you step out into your workplace, as you step out into whatever 2016 has for you, you are not alone. You plus the Son of God. Most of us, we've probably gone out to restaurants and you've made reservations. Have you ever been where you get there and everyone else hasn't got there? So you make a reservation for six people, maybe you're the first one there and five people are going to come. And the waiter can come and say, oh, you know, are your people coming? Like, yeah, they're coming. No matter if the restaurant is full, as long as you've made their reservation, they have to keep that table for you for a certain time, of course. That's the same thing. So is that reservation plus one? So if you're a couple, it's plus one. If you go to a wedding, it's you plus one. Same thing. In 2016, we are not alone, amen? God is saying it's you, me, plus him. So as you are in the car, you're feeling anxious, you're feeling depressed, just say, God, I know you're here. I don't know what to do. Instantly, a verse can rise up, a song can rise up, someone can call you and just give you the word that you need. Let's get into the habit of actually visualizing that Jesus is there with you. Like a car, like we most of us drive, that's the perfect place where we really, it is idle time. You're just driving, watching traffic. Yes, we need to do that. But have that conversation. Imagine, say, Jesus, get in, buckle your seatbelt. I don't know, just go crazy with your imagination and start talking to him. It's like, oh, I'm going to work. I wonder what work will be like. And then he'll be like, I want you to keep your calm. Like, really? Why? Why would I keep my calm? Just, you know, he quickens your spirit. You start hearing that conversation. And then when I get to work, something could blow. And I'm like, this is what you was preparing me for. Ethan, again, he... Because, you know, when you're raising kids, you're trying to teach them that God's in their hearts and everything. Like, I'll ask him. I'll be like, okay, so how many people are in your class? He's like, 17. I'm like, oh, tell me the names. Then he'll tell me 16 kids. I was like, he'll say 18. He tells me the kids' names. It's 16 kids. I'm like, but you said 18. He's like, yeah, plus the teacher. I'm like, and? He's like, plus God. I'm like, yeah, I know God's there, but I'm talking about physical people. But that's how he counts. Like, when he counts himself, his brother, and God. Or if I leave him, I'm like, oh, Ethan, don't be scared tonight. He's like, no, Mom, Jesus is with me. And you know how the word says, be like children? He has that awareness, because that's what we've taught him. Yet I'm shocked when he counts Jesus. But that's exactly how we need to do life. We need to physically imagine him. Like right now, I'm imagining him here, looking at me, saying, okay, let's do this. Amen. So, like I said, 2016, let it be a year that we're going to thrive. Amen. And to thrive, we need to stay in the secret place of God. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. In the New King James. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Amen? So to stay in the secret place with God means you need to have fellowship with God. You need to hang out with God. So I can't meet you today and take you to a secret place. That's creepy. I will take someone to a secret place, someone I know, someone I trust, someone, you know, I can be myself with. I don't care. Women, I can let my tummy go. I don't have to suck it in. I can just be like, yeah, whatever. Because I'm so comfortable with that person. And the word is telling us that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. So as we dwell in the secret place, we are protected under the banner of God's love. Amen? So we need to fellowship with him. We need to hang out with him. And as we do that, our trust in him will increase. We can confide in him more and not worry about keeping up appearances. And we can just be real with him. Amen? So this year, let us choose to be like that with God. When things happen, good things happen, let God be the first person you go. Let it not be a post on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. That can happen second. When things don't happen, that job you want or that promotion or whatever happens, let God be the first person you go to and say, God, I didn't see that coming, but you did. I'm feeling really low right now. I'm feeling cut. I'm feeling shocked, but you knew this was coming. And so I'm coming in that secret place. I want to stay in that shadow. And whilst you pick me up, whilst I understand about this later, then later you can tweet about it if you choose to. So let us be vulnerable with God. He loves us. There's nothing that you and I can do that can repel us from God. It says in Romans 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that means nothing. Sometimes one of the strategies the enemy uses is to condemn you, to think you're not good enough, to think you're not worthy enough of receiving certain blessings, or if you become sick, he might make you think it's because you didn't go to church 3 years ago in January or something. But God's not like that. If we never come to church another day, which we should, he's not going to stop loving us just because that happened. So there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. So all of us need, myself included, we need a greater understanding of the depth of God's love for us. I truly think that if we all understood the grandeur of God's love, we would be world changers, like supernatural world changers right now. We'll be changing the world in such a fast rate. Imagine the creator, the person who created everything known to us, sends his only son to die for us, and we live in like a blip, like it's in the scheme of things, earth is so tiny, and yet he would look down and say, yes, you are worthy of my love, you are worthy of Jesus dying for us. That's the God that we serve. Amen. And to develop this relationship, if we're to go into that secret place with God, we need to develop daily habits that draw us into this secret place. One of them is staying in the Word, staying in the Word of God. This sounds so cliche, but every problem we face, like I said, the answer is in God. The answer to what's happening around the world, like when just listening to the news, God is the answer. Amen? And the other thing we can do is just pray. Like I said, it doesn't have to be kneel down, pray. In your car, in the shower, wherever you get quiet time, just have a conversation with God. And another thing we can do is to walk in love. Jesus gave us 2 commands before he left. He said, love God with all your heart and everything in you. And the second is to love your neighbor. Amen. So as you walk around, as you go about your day, just ask yourself, the way I'm treating this person, is it loving? You don't need to know. Would you want that person to treat you that way? You know, sometimes you can ask yourself, are those thoughts I'm thinking about this person loving? They might never know what you're thinking, but they're not. But if we keep ourselves in check constantly, maybe every time you look, I don't know, you look in the mirror, ask yourself, am I being loving to others today? Am I loving to myself? Am I being loving to God? Amen. I'll read Psalm 1, verse 6 in the New King James. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. I'll also read it in the Passion. That's my new translation, which I'm absolutely loving. But how different it is for the lovers of God. The Lord watches over them as they move forward, while the paths of the godless lead only to doom. Amen? We are lovers of God in this house. Amen? And the word is saying that he watches over us as we move forward. So as 2016 has come, we should not fear, because the word is saying he is watching over us as we move forward. So whatever you think 2016 holds for you, do not be anxious. 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, of timidity, but he has given us a spirit of power, of sound mind, and of love. Amen. So in 2016, God wants us to thrive. He wants this year to be the best yet. Amen. Say to your neighbor, stay connected. To your other neighbor, stay connected. Amen. I'll read John 15, verse 5 to 8. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. Amen? Amen. Can I have the image next to it? Okay, so that's a vine. My grandmother had a vineyard, which is, I think she still does. I just haven't been there. And she always used, it was, oh, amazing. Our grapes in my type of where I come from, they would sort of ripen in June, July, but our holidays were in August. And because I was in boarding school, the other grandkids would get to them before I got there. But my grandmother used to always put them in these little, these fabric things around them and save me my branches when I come home, just so I could enjoy it. That's just random. But the word of God saying that he is the vine and we are the branches. So imagine that this is God and this is us. Imagine this is me. And one day I wake up, I'm like, God, I'm like, I don't like the nutrients I'm getting. I don't like the amount of water that this vine is passing through me. So you know what? I'll just disconnect myself and plant myself in the ground and somehow get my own nutrients. Get my own water. Who knows, I will die. Same thing. If we are not connected to God, if we are not connected to Jesus, we will die. But if you and I want to thrive, we need to stay connected to him. You know, God is relevant. He's not, we might think that in 2016, oh, it's a bit old-fashioned to have God. But if we are to thrive, if we are to survive, we need to stay connected. If, as we are connected, so this vine knows how much nutrients it needs to distribute to me, it needs to distribute to you, it knows how much water needs to come, and based on what comes, how much sunlight, this is like biology, isn't it? I can absorb. And as long as I stay there, the vine decides what I need, amen? So God decides what we need. So sometimes you can look at someone and say, oh, but they're more talented, they're more gifted. No, you have what you need to survive in this year. You have that inside of you already. And as we stay connected, we're going to produce those fruits like he's saying. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So if the purpose of this branch is to bear fruit. That's its purpose. So this branch maybe has been allocated to bear 10 fruit. And when I bear the fruit, I'm doing what I'm created. But if I decide to connect, I'm going to die. And the fruit that's in me that's meant to come out is going to die as well. Amen? Say to your neighbor, stay connected. So as we start this fast, that was just perfect, like what we heard Pastor Jensen saying, that it is about us connecting to him. Amen? So the fast is about us separating ourselves from our comforts. And this week, just take time to prepare your heart. Even for me, sometimes I start cutting down my food just so I'm ready. One day, just take time to just ask God and say, God, what do you want to do in me in this 21 days? I've got my list that I want you to do, but what do you want to do in me? What's the thing that you want more out of me this year? What's the thing that you want me to do more of this year? And what's the thing you want me to do less of this year, okay? So what do you want out of me? What do you want me to do more of? And what do you want me to do less of, amen? God says in Isaiah 41, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Amen? So God is saying we should fear not. Amen? So no matter what is ahead of us, we are in the right place. So as long as we are connected, if it's winter, if it's summer, if it's autumn, as a branch, you don't have to worry about all that, because the vine is the one that's getting all the things that you need to come out. Amen? I'll just get the team to come up. So this year, God has set us up to succeed, amen? God has set us up to succeed. We can't be complacent. We can't wing it. We have to be intentional about connecting with God. We can't say, oh, actually, when I get time, I'll connect with God. Do you know, you will never find the time. One strategy you can use is actually putting it in your diary. Say, 7 to 7:15 is my time to talk to God. It doesn't have to be 3 hours. If you can do 3 hours, great. But start with whatever you can. Start in those moments that you know you can. Like I said, start in the shower. Start when you're doing laundry. Start when you're in the car. When you wake up, let the first thing that comes out of your mouth say, God, I thank you for today. And if that's the only prayer you make, that's fine. Because you've connected with your maker, amen? And as you go to bed, say, God, I thank you for today. If that's the only thing you say again, that's okay. Because he's the first thing you acknowledged. He's the last thing that you acknowledged, amen? In 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days, amen? There are terrible times, terrible, terrible things that are happening in the world that we live in. But we do not need to fear, as long as we stay connected to the branch, to the vine, amen? We do not need to fear, because God is saying to us in 2016, and I'm going to declare it, that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. The word of God is true. So whatever he says, he will honor that, amen?